God's Intolerable Compliment by Virginia Brandt Berg.
The other day, two books came to me in the mail from two different sources. They were both on the subject of suffering, but a direct antithesis of each other. Because they had come in the same mail delivery and from such different persons, I was peculiarly interested. This was a strange coincidence. The one author treated the subject of suffering from the standpoint of utter submission, that because God had allowed suffering to come, it must henceforth and forever be accepted as a burden to be borne in patient yieldedness. He then set forth all the benefits to be derived from suffering, which were many. It was a splendid treatise on the subject and absolutely true. But he never gave one thought to God as the great deliverer, who, when the lessons are learned, would then be willing to set the captive free and heal the sufferer. No, from his point of view, the sufferer was always left in his suffering, and because of it, constantly saintlier in character. That was true, but never to be delivered, and that's the way the little book ended. The other book on suffering took exactly the opposite tack from this one that I just told you about, and dealt with it as an oppression of the devil, according to the scriptures that Jesus went about everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This writer then majored on the thought that God always wants to deliver, that his great desire is to set the captive free, release the suffering, and heal the body just as quickly as possible. Now, these books on the same subject, but exactly the opposite in thought, made me have a great deal of thought over the matter. There was so much truth in each one that I couldn't discard either. Yet how could this be, you'd say? Always there are questions. Does God send this upon me? Someone wrote this week, "Is this the will of God for me? If God has let this come upon me, then doesn't he want me to just bear it patiently, accept it sweetly, learn submission and be content in whatever state I am in, and not try to receive deliverance, and not ask God to lift me out of it?" To answer all these questions would take a dozen messages such as this. It is impossible now to answer them all. But standing between these two books I received, I want to mention just two points. The first is that God does allow suffering in order to deepen our spiritual life, to clarify our vision. That is, so that we can see ourselves as we really are. He does allow suffering and hardship in order to grow our character. God is much more interested in growing our character and soul power than he is in growing a new lining in your stomach or new tissue somewhere on your body. However, lest I do not have time to say it later, his word so surely proclaims that he will in the end deliver you when you have learned the lessons or you've gotten the spiritual blessings he wants you to gain or you have grown in the grace that he's so interested in your having. Some time ago, there appeared an article in the Reader's Digest called "Turn Your Sickness into an Asset," written by Dr. Louis Bish. He makes this comment: "Sudden illness has unhinged your knees, brought you limply to bed, and made you a horizontal citizen of the sick room and an unwilling initiate in the fellowship of pain. At first, your reaction was to rail, fret, and resent bitterly such untimely interference with life's routine. But later you learn that your illness is conferring substantial benefits upon you." Now, this was written by a fine physician, and he ends the article by saying, "Any serious illness should be regarded as an opportunity to gather dividends that health can never bestow. There is introspection and self-analysis, throwing the searchlight upon your inner self, until you're humbled and cut down to your real size. Only when the way straightens and the gate grows narrow do some people ever discover their soul, ever discover God." Now a doctor who has dealt with so many who are ill wrote those thoughts. Well, we might have put this in other words and said that pain and suffering are instruments in God's hands for loving correction, because he loves us too much to leave us to ourselves without the wholesome chastening of his grace. Pain is not an irrelevant evil, but has a ministry to serve and lessons to teach. It supplies a needful discipline by means of which the soul is purified, and patience and forbearance are strengthened, and it gives opportunity for God himself to reveal his sustaining presence and sympathizing love. The Father God of all mercy and comfort is never nearer his child than when that child needs his help the most. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." At times, God seems to leave us alone in suffering and sickness, and we're left dangling in midair, that we might know how weak we are in ourselves, how weak are the foundations of human confidence that we so often rest upon. Now, I want to address the other point. I believe when the lesson is learned that God wants to heal you, I believe that His Word is full of promises and examples along this line. I know that promises of healing for the body are in the Word of God, for I've searched it diligently for many years. His healing is for today. I believe it also because of so many testimonies of godly people who have been healed. Learn the lessons that are available to you during this time of suffering, and then call on Him for healing and deliverance. He says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Take hold of God and His promises today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.